Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Outside Podcast. I am your host, Adil Royster. Chill ride, chill vibes as always. Definitely chill, of course, because, you know, it's winter time in Philadelphia and it's just miserable. I mean, I enjoy the cold. It's fine, but the wind chill, that's what gets me. That's what gets all of us. My guest on the podcast today doesn't really have to deal with wind chills or cold weather, for that matter, because she is located in, I guess, sunny California. I mean, she hails from Northern California, so I don't know if the rain and the clouds from, like, San Francisco or whatnot, like, if that extends to the entirety of Northern California, but we'll find out. We'll ask her. It's Marina Drag. She's a beat writer, staff writer for the Sacramento Kings SB Nation website, Sactown Royalty, if you don't know. And she's joining me to talk about this whole, like, will they, won't they with the Kings and trading for Ben Simmons and other things. So we're going to get right into this. Marina, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. And to your question, I wish we got the rain and the clouds that the Bay Area gets. Sacramento is a little bit dry, but nothing compared to the winter that's out there on the East Coast, for sure.
I'm just saying, it's enjoyable out here sometimes in the wintertime.
Yeah. Oh, I would love a white Christmas, but I'm sure it looks a lot better than it feels. I'm positive.
You get the nice 2-3 feet of snow and then you just grab the inner tubes or whatever you can find and just, you know, slalom down the art museum steps. It's fun.
Yeah, that seems charming for like one day. And then I would like to come back to my like 60 degree winters in Sacramento.
And you're born and raised in Sacramento?
I am. Yeah, I am born and raised.
So you were there during the rise and fall of the Chris Webber days.
I was a kid. The last time that the Kings were in the playoffs was the year that the Sacramento Monarchs won the championship.
Oh my God.
And I was 10. So it's been a long, hard ride as a Kings fan growing up in this playoff drought. I remember the glory days, you know, of 02 and 03, but they're like distant memories from all the hardship that we've had as a young adolescent.
Can I just say one thing before I dive into the actual topic?
Of course.
Sacramento Kings fans, I swear, I feel so bad for you guys a lot of times. Sacramento Kings fans and Orlando Magic fans, I probably feel so bad for those fan bases more than any other NBA franchise.
Yeah, I think we do get a lot of like pity
support.
Yeah, we somehow become like the NBA darlings for like a few days or weeks in the league, and then we just go back to like catching strays on Saturday Night Live. And so it's just like this weird dichotomy. But I do think that when the Kings find success, they will become kind of one of those like fan favorite, league favorite underdogs that everybody can get behind. And it'll be great for the fans because we've been watching the sadness for nearly two decades.
I mean, truth be told, I was all about those early aughts Sacramento Kings. I was all about
Yeah.
it. I had a Mike Bibby jersey and everything. It was great.
Okay, me too. Yeah, that's all we have, honestly. We hold those days very dear. So you're with the rest of us there.
Fantastic. So with the trade deadline, what, two and a half weeks away? Wanted to chat with you about all of these rumors, these musings, these swirlings, if you will, about Sacramento's interest slash coy interest slash we're not really interested in Ben Simmons. And I want to start with a couple of things from a colleague of yours, Jordan White. And he was quoting Mark Stein and saying that the Kings were, quote, the closest thing to a favorite to land Simmons. Reading that sentence, what do you take away from a sentence like that?
To me, the whole last 3 to 4 weeks, or really predating that, you know, the swirlings around the Kings and the Sixers being linked this year, I can't take anything too seriously because it's all been a bit redundant. And I'm sure you might feel that way too, as every headline just seems to be, you know, Simmons is headed in this direction for X, Y, and Z team. And every day it gets stronger for one team or weaker for another. But
just tweet at my colleague Steve Littman. He has a litany of responses for that question.
I'm sure it's like, you know, the only thing on everybody's mind, even though, you know, you have an MVP, arguably someone at the table for MVP and Joel Embiid, that's kind of taking a little bit away from his season, but that's a totally different thing. I don't know. I take every trade rumor with a grain of salt between Simmons and Sacramento, but having so much national media attention around it, I think Kings fans and maybe Sacramento Kings adjacent people who are interested in this market, that definitely like strikes a chord, because we're not, you know, let's be honest, we're not a free agent destination.
Right.
We're not somebody that would really have a chance at Ben Simmons in that way. So for the trade rumor mill to be churning out so much regarding Ben and Sacramento is very intriguing for Kings fans. But I think at the same time, there's a bit of, you know, a guard up, because we tend not to make a big splash, especially at the deadline. And it, usually if we do make a splash, it tends not to go in our favor.
I think I can understand where you're coming from as far as like the uncomfortableness about being the focal point of a trade rumor. It's not easy when, like you were saying, from a Kings fan perspective. Like, I know from personal experience during the process era of Sixers basketball, it was like, who's really going to trade for any of our parts? Right. And then not only that, but it's always the question at that time of, who's the next GM that's going to get fleeced by Sam Hinkie, because right. Sam knows like 5 times better what he's doing.
Yeah, I know. It's actually funny, the parallels that the Sixers and the Kings, you know, their trajectory over the last decade. I mean, you guys have had a more positive outcome, but just that like disgruntled, unknown, weird, can't name the starting five from 2013 kind of a deal. We've had some similarities there, but I definitely would love to see the Kings take the process from the Sixers. You know, I think that obviously it's not great right now with the Ben Simmons saga, but I would not be sad if I was in the Sixers' position with everything else that they have around them.
Knowing everything you know about Ben Simmons and the situation and the saga here, from a basketball writer perspective, what do you think about the possibility of Ben Simmons in a Kings jersey? Like, do you like, from a writer perspective, do you like it? Do you think the fit works depending on the trade framework? Because, I mean, personally, if you have Simmons and Fox on the same team, kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense from a spacing standpoint.
Yeah. Well, I think you know, putting my writer hat on, having Ben Simmons in Sacramento definitely puts us in the conversation, and in a conversation that we're not too often a part of, in that we would be, you know, for the Kings, it's like a good season for us would be making the play-in tournament. And that's like not being hyperbolic. Like, I really think that landing a 10th seed would be considered like, okay, we had a great year. So adding Ben Simmons, adding defense, which the Kings have been so starved of in the last few seasons, you know, we had the worst defensive ranking in league history last year, and we're not on a great trajectory right now. Bringing in an all defensive player, bringing in an all-star, I think that automatically puts us into a better place, regardless of who's leaving, because we don't have all-stars right now. And I mean, that's not to say we don't have future all-stars. We have a great young core in Fox and Halliburton, and I love that tandem personally. So I think that adding a Ben Simmons would be great from a on paper, but where I see the issue on the other side of my writer's hat is, who's to say that Ben Simmons wouldn't have the same attitude or pull the same kind of hoopla that's going on in Philly right now in Sacramento, which is a less than ideal market for him, I'm sure.
That kind of leads into my next question a little bit. And again, whenever I bring this up, I always preface by saying it's not my place to comment on anybody's like mental health. If he believes that he has a mental health issue, do whatever you can to get it corrected. But comparing the Philly fan base to the Sacramento fan base, could it work a little bit better there? Is the Sacramento fan base a little bit more even keeled, so to speak, versus the and the media versus like Philly or like, I don't know, Minnesota, probably not, but like New York, certainly no.
Right. I think we're absolutely in a conversation with Sixers fans in that we'll boo our team if we're not playing well. You know, or we're not necessarily Madison Square Garden where we're booing Julius Randle when he's giving us a thumbs down, like I don't, or a thumbs up rather. But I think Sacramento Kings fans are hopelessly optimistic in that they'll fall in love with the 20th pick in the second round. And we have so many players that have come and gone in this franchise where we have been given glimmers of hope. Obviously with the Boogie era, we had flashes of good and we had a lot of bad, but there was always at the end of the day, like a mutual respect and adoration for the players on the court. I don't think fans are necessarily as aggressive. I think maybe on social media, they're active and they're passionate, but I don't think that this would be a space where Ben Simmons would enter and feel like he was being, you know, bullied or being attacked. I think that that comes from maybe the national fan base or just the league fan base at large. You know, Ben Simmons has become a bit of a, not a joke, but
kind of a pariah, I guess,
or just a running gag of this whole, you know, from playoffs last year to the, you know, the Hawks series last year to now, it's just kind of grown and grown and become something that's a little bit bigger than just the Sixers market.
More of my conversation with Marina Drab of Sacktown Royalty in a second. Just going to fulfill the admin and we'll be right back on the Out of Sight podcast on the Liberty Ballers podcast network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. questions including what are we missing when we work remotely, or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, here's something that is interesting as far as this like trade swing between the two teams. The concept of the Kings willing to take on Tobias Harris's contract to land Simmons. Okay, I'm a Sixers fan, and even I'm thinking to myself, okay, I can't in good conscience allow that to happen to another team. Like, I can't. Like that, like there's so much fleecing done on that angle. Like I would feel even worse for Kings fans if they took Tobias Harris's contract along with Ben Simmons. Not to say that Tobias is a bad player by any stretch. He's just not worth what he's being paid.
Yeah, I think that would be.
I mean, do the Kings want Simmons that badly?
Honestly, no. I don't think so, because I think if they did, they would have pulled the trigger a long time ago.
Yeah.
And things were, when things were, the goalpost hadn't been moved yet. It was very clear from the beginning of this season that there were Fox Simmons trade rumors. And there were also trade rumors around Tyrese Halliburton. And I know that Kings brass just don't want to get rid of Tyrese, and
right.
In kind of the same way that a few years ago they really didn't want to get rid of De'Aaron Fox, but now Fox has been in the center of several trade rumors throughout this season. So I don't know, but I do know that the addition of Tobias Harris in that package in the last few days has probably turned off a lot of front offices, honestly. I mean, I don't know.
Why? Yeah.
I don't know if it's the money or, well, I'm sure it's the money. He's being paid a disgusting amount of money for the product. And I just don't know that that's something that Sacramento wants to take on as with another fat contract with Ben.
The trade framework that Jordan had in his piece was a Fox Buddy, Harrison Barnes, and quote unquote high value picks for Ben, Tobias Harris, and hopefully Matisse Thybulle. Like the fact that he said hopefully Matisse in there, I'm just like, dude, we're not that bad. Like we're not trying to like Old West rob somebody like at gunpoint. I will say, however, in any trade involving Ben Simmons or the Sixers in general, I'm telling you this, and I'm hoping this gets filtered all around SB Nation. Tyrese Maxey is a non-starter. You're not having it. I'm just telling you now. It's not going to happen. You can talk me into Thybulle. You can talk me into Isaiah Joe or Jaden Springer. But to me, Tyrese is untouchable right now.
Yeah, I would agree, especially with, the desperation for a guard next to Embiid. And I think that De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Maxey have a lot of similar qualities. So I don't know that necessarily Tyrese Maxey, we both have Tyrese's. I don't think Maxey leaving now and bringing Fox in would really do anything in the long run. While Maxey's performing so well for Philly, and really that would be giving Sacramento a younger version, and maybe the ceiling's higher. We don't know. We haven't gotten to that point in either of their careers, but it would seem a little bit like a step backwards, maybe for both ends, and maybe no one really wins that trade in the present.
You've brought up before a couple of times how the Kings really want to build around the backcourt of Fox and Halliburton, which I think is a great idea, number mm-hmm. one. But my question would be, so has Buddy Hield become the odd man out now?
You know, I think Buddy has been the odd man out since the off season.
Really?
Since he was almost a Laker.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I think that when that all went down, I believe that was draft day or maybe the day before, when the Kings were, you know, a Russell Westbrook away from acquiring Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Montrezl Harrell, and Kyle Kuzma, and they were going to send away Marvin Bagley and Buddy Hield to Los Angeles. I think Kings fans were willing and ready to part ways, and kind of had been mentally prepared to do that for a while. But then that was nixed, and we know now Russell Westbrook's a Laker. That's how that has turned out is not important to this podcast, but I think that Hield coming off the bench and embracing that sixth man role took a long time for him. And now that he's there and he is a bit streaky for us, Kings fans are willing and ready to part ways with him. And he's a valuable asset for a championship contending team, you know, but he might have served his purpose in Sacramento already, even though he's a sharpshooter. He doesn't play a ton of defense. And I think that with the addition of Tyrese Halliburton last year, that second guard spot was kind of his by the second or third week that he was playing in a Kings uniform.
With the trade deadline, like I said, like 2.5-3 weeks away, this has been my favorite Sixers Kings trade from the jump. And there's not a whole lot of long-term possibility, but like in the short term, I feel like it makes the Sixers a little bit better just because you don't have Simmons's what, $20, $30 million contract just sitting there doing nothing. Like if it's Simmons for Buddy and some picks, call it into the league office right now. I'm fine with that.
Really?
I have joined my colleague Steve Littman and just saying like, just get this over with, just get it done as fast as you can, get as much as you can back, and then just like reload for the off season, which mm-hmm. is going to be discussed in a little bit. But yeah, Simmons for Buddy and picks, fine, whatever. You don't want to give up Halliburton. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you're feeling frisky and want to throw in Davion Mitchell, that's fine. But yeah, Simmons for Buddy and Davion Mitchell and like a first rounder or two, the 2025 unprotected would be nice. but outside of that, like I don't need the blockbuster Fox, Halliburton and valuable picks. No, I don't need all that. Simmons for Buddy and Davion Mitchell and picks, call it in. I'm fine.
You know, I think that I don't disagree. I think that would be super beneficial to Philly in the short term, but I know that a lot of the packages surrounding Buddy have also included Marvin Bagley. He's a player that the Kings have been, you know, tumultuously tied to since the the draft, which again is not important to this pod, but
I will point out once again to you and all the Kings fans that Luka was the very next pick.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sure was. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry. I mean, even Triple J came like after the Bagley pick, and I love me some Triple J.
Yeah. I mean, you're 100% correct. That is.
Now I feel like a jerk for bringing it up.
But yeah, I mean, you know, with all that aside, the Kings have wanted to move off Bagley for a while. And even though he's carved out a redeeming season, I think that we have to look at that as a bit of an audition for other teams. And but like I was saying, Buddy and Bagley have always kind of been tied to trade packages. And with the addition of Davion Mitchell in the draft this year, you know, that's not a bad offer by any means. So I,
yeah, let's just call it into the league office. Let's just get let's just get David Stern on this call right now.
Yeah,
Daryl Morey, I'm speaking for you right now. It's fine. It's fine. It's okay.
I think that speaking for Adam Silver right now, I think I would give that a stamp.
The trade rumors with Sacramento, there's always the three-team potential now, apparently. Like,
sure, yeah.
Fox goes to Philly, and then the Kings are interested in Domantas Sabonis. Allegedly. Like, I don't know what's going on there. But I personally have liked and always liked Rashawn Holmes. Maybe it's because he's a former Sixer, and I'm just glad that he secured the bag a little bit. But I like Rashawn, and I see what you're saying about Bagley and wanting to include him in trades. I would be hesitant to take on Bagley just because I don't know what he is in this league. I still don't. I don't know if he's a small forward because he can't really shoot. I don't know if he's a power forward because he's kind of undersized. Like, what is Marvin Bagley? Like, that's the question that always throws me off when I put Marvin Bagley in trades.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that a lot of people probably feel that way, Kings fans included, because we still don't know all of what Marvin Bagley is. But one thing, you know, that he provides is a cheap deal. He is still, you know, he did not get his extension, and it's not really a huge chunk of change that the team would be moving or acquiring. So I think that might be enticing and why he's probably tacked on to a lot of deals, because the Kings are trying to move off him and it's really not going to break the bank for other teams to acquire him as well.
The Sixers, we had Dave Early, one of my colleagues, also wrote a piece this morning that came out on Liberty Ballers saying that the Sixers were probably looking to wait and see until the off season. So a lot of these trades that we're talking about now might just not come to fruition, and they're just going to hold whatever assets they can to get like a Harden or something. Speaking as a Kings fan, would you feel like once again you're the like bridesmaid but never the bride in these trades?
You know, I think kind of going back to what we were saying earlier, Kings fans really have to manage their expectations. They kind of always have. And I believe that there would be a lot of disappointment because there is an expectation for our GM, Monty McNair, to swing for the fences in this trade deadline. But if Simmons is off the table, you know, that might just give other teams the green light to go ahead and start making other trades and make other decisions that could change the trajectory of their the rest of their season, or even, you know, their strategy going into next year, whether it's, you know, we're mailing it in or we're going to push for the 10th seed or whatever it might be. There are still trades to be had, even if Ben Simmons' name isn't one of the marquees of the deadline. There's the Jeremy Grant, and like you said, the Domantas Saboniss and the Miles Turners. And I do think that it will still be set up to be a good trade deadline, an interesting one. But with Ben Simmons off the table, it does make me wonder, why did we go through all of this in the first half of the season just to get to this point where Morey is saying, actually, we'll talk again in June?
See, now I'm really thinking, because of like next season, Harrison is an expiring contract. And like, I'm wondering what could be had. And like, I'm not 1,000% sure about Jeremy Grant's contract, but if he's got years left, and if the Kings get Jeremy Grant for like Harrison Barnes is expiring and some picks, Jeremy Grant, Tyrese Haliburton, and De'Aaron Fox with Rashawn, that's a solid base there.
That would be fun.
I like that base.
Yeah.
So now I'm playing NBA 2K trade machine with Sacramento Kings. Like, this is fun.
Fired up.
I do this all the time. Just as long as you're staying away from Bradley Beal. That's my number one target this coming off season.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal is a future Sixer. Everyone hands off.
Could you imagine if Bradley Beal wanted out of a market so bad and he landed in Sacramento? I mean, I would feel bad for him, honestly. Like, that's not where, you know, I'm sure that's not where he envisioned the second act of his career. And I wouldn't want that for him either, because he probably would draw a lot of parallels from DC.
Now, you brought up Monty McNair, and I feel like I have to ask, because he was his predecessor was kind of a running joke here in Philly.
Sure.
Compared to Vlade Divac, does Monty McNair kind of know what he's doing a little bit, at least? Like, me being like a basketball purist that loves the game and just wants to see teams like the Kings and the Magic do well, like, is there hope with Monty McNair out there?
You know, I think there is hope, because we haven't seen him do a whole lot yet. He hasn't been here for very long. I think nabbing Tyrese Haliburton with the 12th pick in the 2020 draft was kind of his first big thumbs up from Kings fans.
That was good.
That was a huge indicator to us that he knew what he was doing in that regard. As you mentioned, you know, Vlade wasn't king of the draft, but
I see what you did there.
Yeah, he those decisions were questionable, but I think that in terms of building a roster around Fox and Haliburton, which is what a lot of people want McNair to do, I don't know that he's necessarily lived up to that in his free agency over last year. Of course, retaining Rashawn Holmes was a big, big deal for them. I know that they wanted to keep Rashawn very badly, as he has been, although he's been injured, really banged up this season, he's been one of the most consistent players for the Kings in the last 3 years, which kind of says a lot about our franchise, but also, you know, the ceiling of Holmes and how he has been a good addition to the team. But I think that when the going back to the Hield to the Lakers trade was in the works, I think Kings fans kind of saw the vision, but there's no good in having a trade that doesn't go through, you know.
Right.
It's about hitting those marks, and did we need a Tristan Thompson and a Mo Harkless? I don't know that those were necessarily like our best offseason decisions, but I forgot
you guys had Mo Harkless on your team for a while.
Yeah, he was a starter at the beginning of the season. He was Luke Walton's guy. You know, I think that there's just a lot of question marks, because McNair really doubled down on our roster going into the season when the Simmons rumors were swirling. And on media day, he said, this is our group going in. And there was a lot of confidence around our guys. And, you know, now that we are where we are, 12th in the West, this will be a very telling set of months for McNair's success in Sacramento or otherwise.
I'm just saying, Monty, you're only 3 games out of the 10 seed, and I'm just putting it out there, Ben and Tobias could probably get you to the play-in game. I'm just putting that out there,
you know. And I would be shocked if they came and we didn't, but that would also be, you know, like I said, Kings fans really need to manage their expectations.
it's speaking as someone that dealt with the process era, just be patient. It's like, hopefully you guys have somebody in there with a plan and is executing it to the best of his ability without the owner in his ear all the time.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. May I ask you a question?
That, oh God, I'm afraid now.
That Kings fans and maybe like NBA fans might want to know from the Sixers camp. Do you think that there's any chance like a snowball's chance in hell that Ben Simmons suits up for you guys again?
I had a joke about this. And earlier in the season, my joke was that the perfect storm scenario would be that Simmons comes back and plays for the Sixers during that first game against the Atlanta Hawks and comes out and has a triple double with like 25, 12 and 11 or something like that. Recently, I overheard Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer on The Mismatch, and he was saying a lot of things that I kind of agree with. If you're Ben Simmons and you're not traded after the trade deadline, you have to come back because Joel Embiid is playing the best basketball of his life right now. And if there's one thing that the Sixers could probably use a little bit better of, it's playmaking in the half court and for sure defense. I think that I wouldn't go so far as to what Kevin said and saying, yeah, if he comes back, he can kind of resurrect his image a little bit. But if he doesn't come back, he's just going to be a loser that never wins a championship. I'm not going to go that far. But what I will say is that I feel that Ben probably has a better shot of ingratiating himself with the fan base again than to just sit out the rest of the season. Not only that, but hey, Ben, if you play basketball, you can increase your trade value so that maybe you can get dealt where you really want to go this next offseason. How about that? Otherwise, Daryl will just do whatever he wants to. And hey, you can get shipped to Minnesota for Karl Anthony Towns, which again, pipe dream, but whatever.
Right. No, I definitely think that would make the most sense, especially like you were saying with Joel Embiid playing another MVP caliber season. It's hard for me to imagine. And like you said, you know, I don't want to speculate about anybody's mental health or if they don't feel that they're in the right mindset to play. That's certainly not, that's not my place to speak, but right. It would make sense to kind of have your extended audition, you know, and close the curtains with a playoff run and a deep one at that. But I don't know. I would like to see Ben, should he not be dealt and should those James Harden rumors, you know, really be what is going on, I would like to see Ben at least play this season because he's already lost a season, you know, with his rookie year. So
yeah,
that would be
the only thing I'll say about the Harden stuff is that I'm not looking forward to paying 37-year-old James Harden $42 million. So before people get on the James Harden train, just remember that, like when he's in his like past 35, you're looking at like $41, $42, $43 million. I don't know how Harden's game will evolve as he gets older, but yeah, unless he's Steph Curry out here, which is like the perfect compliment for Joel Embiid, but never going to happen. But I just would not feel comfortable about paying that much for 37-year-old James Harden. I would not personally.
Yeah, that would certainly be an interesting, you know, wait and see. So I don't blame you there, but in the short term, I don't know that Daryl Morey necessarily looks at the long term like that. But
not really.
That's why fine. He gets paid the big bucks, and I don't know.
But Daryl's also not that GM that makes a trade just to make a trade. So when he makes one, it's very calculated.
Right.
This has been an incredibly, incredibly fun discussion, talking about both of our teams and reminiscing about the old Jason Williams, Mike Bibby, Chris Webber Kings.
Yes.
Marina, thank you for your time. If you would like to plug your Twitter, Sacktown Royalty, any podcast you guys do, now is your time.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, definitely check out Sacktown at Sacktown Royalty on Twitter. We have a great group of writers over there. And despite, you know, being basketball hell, we're having a lot of fun. So definitely well, check us out.
It's all right, because we're in basketball purgatory.
Okay, so perfect. You're just one, you're like one level above us
in yeah.
Dante's Inferno. But yeah, Sacktown Royalty on Twitter, and make sure you check us out at sacktownroyalty.com as well.
Marina Drabb, thank you so much for joining me. And yeah, hopefully things work out this trade deadline and the offseason and the future. And before we started on the podcast, we were talking about her visiting Philly. So it would be fun if it's Sixers Kings in like 2026 or 2027 or something.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
I will see you at the 2030 NBA Finals.
Absolutely. She stakes on me.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Marina. Talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.